Hi, folks. Bob Main here with another episode of the Handgun World Show. And the reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. I believe that the Second Amendment makes all of the other amendments possible. And this podcast is not too political, and it's not too radical, and not too technical. Because I am not a gunsmith, I'm not ex-law enforcement, I'm not ex-military, and I'm not a firearms trainer. I'm just a private citizen. And I believe strongly in my Second Amendment rights. So I'm going to keep it real and talk about guns. So let's get started with the show.
This and other podcasts are available on the Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com, podcasting freedom.
Okay, so this is going to be kind of a mixed bag. That's going to be the main topic. You know, I got a few different thoughts here. I don't have enough information to make it all one topic, so I just got a few thoughts here that I want to share with you. And as you, most of you know who've been listening to me long enough, that I do a lot of these podcasts while I'm driving because I spend about 47,000 miles a year on the road in my vehicle. That's the job I do. I'm one of the most hated professions in the world, or my profession is one of the most hated. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm in sales. I would say maybe the only profession that's hated more than me are attorneys, and no offense to any lawyers out there. I'm glad that there's somebody in first place, and I'm in second place as far as what I do. But anyway, that's what I do. I travel around Texas and Oklahoma, and I work for a security electronics manufacturer, and we do some home technology products and home automation products is what we make as well. So I travel around selling those. So while I'm driving, it's a chance for me to put together a few of my thoughts and bring them to you. So let's dive into the first topic that I want to talk about, and that is pistol caliber carbines. I've heard some talk in a couple different podcasts that I listen to and some blogs that I read about pistol caliber carbines, and some people think that they're viable and some think that they're not viable. So for what it's worth, I'm going to share with you my thoughts on it. I'm no expert by any means, but let's face it. There's a gun is a gun, and if you know how to employ it properly and you can keep it with you all the time, it probably has a chance to do you some good. So here's my thoughts on pistol caliber carbines. I do another podcast that some of you are probably aware of. If you're into survival and prepping and things like that, I do another podcast called Today's Survival Show. And I keep it pretty much rooted in common sense, just like I do this show. And it's just, you know, basically good information on how to prepare for stink hit the fan events. Well, I did a show on pistol caliber carbines. I interviewed one of my listeners who knew quite a bit about pistol caliber carbines. I would invite you to go over there at todayssurvival.com and just search pistol caliber carbines. I'll actually put a link to that podcast in the show notes. So you'll see at handgunworld.com, below this episode, you'll see a bunch of show notes, as I always put there, and there will be a link to listen to my pistol caliber carbines podcast. It was a great interview. Since then, I have some other thoughts to share with you on that. So, for those of you that might be rather new, let me just briefly explain. A pistol caliber carbine is a gun that is a typical carbine rifle length. In other words, it typically has probably between a 16 and an 18-inch barrel. And it looks like a rifle, but it shoots a pistol caliber. And so that's why it's called a pistol caliber carbine. And there's a big argument as to whether those are a smart idea to invest in or not. Some people have the idea that the commonality of ammo is a good thing. In other words, if you own a 9mm handgun, a 9mm pistol caliber carbine makes sense. Or if you own a 45, that a 45 ACP carbine makes sense, and so on and so forth. To some extent, I would agree on that. I think that there's something to be said for that. Because if you're going to take advantage of bulk buying of ammo, you know, let's say you've only got $300 to spend this month on ammo. All right, let's just say that's your budget. I don't know what your budget is. I don't care. But let's say it's $300. you could make the argument, well, is it better for me to buy $100 worth of 9mm and $100 worth of shotgun shells and $100 worth of 223 or 7.62, or should I just spend the entire $300 on 9mm? Well, if you don't have this enormous amount of guns, maybe you're like me, I don't have an enormous amount. Well, let's see. How many do I own? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I own 8 guns, including all my long guns. Now, you might think, man, that's a lot. And then you might think, is that all? 8? Come on, Bob, you need more. All right, I'm not going to get into that argument. That's different. But I own 8 guns. Like I said, combination of handguns and... 7. I'm sorry. Combination of handguns and long guns, 7. Out of the 7, 4 are chambered in 9mm. So for me, if I had a budget for 1 month of $300, for example, it would make more sense for me to buy 9mm because more than half of the guns I own are chambered in 9mm. So if that's you, let's say you have a 9mm handgun and a shotgun and that's all you've got, and you don't have a long gun, then maybe spending $300 on 9mm might make sense because you can use that gun for both, or use that ammo for both guns, for both your handgun and your long gun, which is a pistol caliber carbine chambered in 9mm. However, so anyway, before I get into the however, that's the argument there is bulk buying of ammo and the commonality of ammo. And of course, if it is a real stink hit the fan event, in other words, if it's mayhem out there, if the world has just, you know, fallen apart, I don't like to think about a lot of that stuff. You know, I don't like to get into all that tinfoil hat thinking. That's not my style. I'm not an Armageddon type of thinker, right? But let's face it. You could have a regional disaster. You could have a tornado or a hurricane or some kind of a dirty bomb go off in your area. Something like that. Whatever. Whatever it is that causes mayhem in your neighborhood, even if it's for a couple of days. You know, maybe looters are trotting around all over the place trying to steal your stuff. You might be on foot carrying ammo, for example. Now, if you're on foot carrying ammo and you have a 40 caliber carbine and you got a 40 caliber handgun, well, then you just, you know, you carry several boxes of ammo and it fits in both guns and it works in both guns. And that's great. So that's another reason, is if you have to carry ammo. Other than those two reasons, I would say that a pistol caliber carbine is rather limiting. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. There are some people out there that say the pistol caliber carbines are a bad idea. I'm not going to say that they're a bad idea. I like to inject my thoughts and then let you decide on this show. That's what I like to do, just to give you some things to think about. Some people talk about the velocity advantage of a pistol caliber carbine. I mean, I'll give you an example. When I shot the Texas IDPA pistol match, IDPA Championship, I used my Glock 34. And normal factory FMJ practice ammo, I was shooting Winchester White Box. I think when they shot my gun through the chronograph, I'm pretty sure it was 1,200 feet per second, roughly, on the average. Sometimes a little bit less than 1,200, sometimes a little bit more than 1,200. Now, I'm not a ballistics expert, but here's what I do know. Most pistol caliber carbines will increase that velocity, you know, 150 to 200 feet per second, max. Most. And that's most. There's a couple of them I'm going to talk about that do better than that. But let's say the 9mm, 40, and 45 variety of pistol caliber carbines. So, for example, maybe you have one of those Beretta CX-4 carbines with a 16-inch barrel. Those are cool guns, by the way. Really tactical looking. I've actually shot them. I don't like to talk about guns that I haven't shot, but that one I've shot, so I can talk a little bit about that. I'll tell you, it's very accurate. Really looks cool. It's very short. Pretty easy to hide. Easy to shoot. Easy to hit things with. Expensive. But it's cool. All right, so let's say you have a carbine like that, and they make that in 40, and they make that in 45. Or maybe you got one of those Marlin Camp carbines. Remember those? If some of you are kind of new to this show or new to this kind of stuff, just Google Marlin Camp carbine. I wish that they never discontinued that. Those Marlin Camp carbines were pretty cool. They were 9mm. I think they took the Smith & Wesson magazines. the Smith & Wesson pistol magazines, if I'm not mistaken. If I'm wrong about that, correct me. But I think they used to take the 14 or 15 round Smith & Wesson pistol magazines. So that made it, you know, pretty cool as well. And the versions that I have seen were in 9mm. If you've got one of those guns, you might get 150 to 250 feet per second, maybe, you know, 175 feet per second average. Better velocity. What does that mean? Well, theoretically, that means you will probably get greater expansion of your bullet at a greater velocity. It takes mass and velocity for your bullet to expand. It also takes a good bullet design. Again, I'm not a ballistics expert, so I'm going to kind of tread lightly on some of this stuff. But everybody pretty much knows you get better velocity because you're pushing that bullet through a longer barrel. Now, think about my Glock 34 for a minute. It's a 5-inch, basically it's a 5-inch barrel. So if I'm getting 1,200 feet per second through my Glock 34 using practice ammo, or let's say I'm getting 1,300 feet using my Corbon DPX, theoretically, I get 1,400 to 1,500 feet using the Corbon DPX through the carbine, you know, per second. So let's say it pushes 1,500 feet per second, just for purposes of discussion. Well, that's only about 250 feet per second more than through my Glock 34. Yet the barrel on that carbine is more than three times longer than the barrel on my Glock. So, it's not proportional. Your velocity increase on a pistol caliber carbine is not proportional based on the size of the weapon. Again, 5-inch barrel Glock, 16-inch barrel pistol caliber carbine, more than three times the barrel length, but not three times the velocity. So, it begs the question, is it really worth carrying a gun or owning a gun that is as long as a pistol caliber carbine only to gain that extra 150 to 200 feet per second? I would submit to you that unless you're really recoil sensitive, I don't think that's worth it. I really don't. I don't think it's worth buying a gun so much. I mean, because let's face it, let's look at the Kel-Tec Sub 2000, for example. That's a very popular pistol caliber carbine. It's cool because it folds up nicely. So for storage, that's cool. A lot of people like that rifle because it's easy to hide. I mean, you can put that thing in a tennis racket bag. You can put it in a chair bag. You know, those folding chair bags? There's all kinds of places you can stick that thing in a pizza box and hide it. And theoretically, you could take it out of its bag or out of its box and unfold it and stick a magazine in it and fire it. Now, that's a lot of jockeying around just to get a weapon into play. But it's, in terms of hiding it, they're easy to hide. But come on, now let's just think about the reality of that. I like to talk about reality. Okay, let's say I'm in an unexpected fight. All right, it's unexpected. Whether it's a home invasion, whether it's a Glock 30, or whether it's a home invasion, or I'm outside and I get attacked on the street. Is it easier for me to get my Glock into play, or is it easier for me to get a pistol caliber carbine into play? The last time I checked, my concealed carry license does not allow me to conceal a pistol caliber carbine on my body. Even if I could, it doesn't allow me to do that. If it's a home invasion, I've mentioned many times, my preferable home defense weapon is my Glock 34 with a light on it. Or any, I would recommend any full-size pistol. I like that because I can maneuver with it better. And I tell you what, after taking close-range gunfighting course with Suarez International, you know, shooting from retention and shooting from the what we call shooting from the parallel, where basically you're, after you draw, the gun is in position number three, which basically you're holding the gun in front of your stomach and it's close range and you're shooting from that position. You know, those are distinct advantages, knowing how to shoot from different positions like that, that are much tougher with a cat with a carbine. A lot harder with a shotgun, a lot harder with a rifle, and a lot harder with a pistol caliber carbine. Any kind of a long gun makes shooting inside your house from different positions difficult. And if I think about a home invasion, it's quite likely I'm going to be shooting around corners. You know, one of the things, try doing this. Try take a shotgun or a rifle and try going ambidextrous with it. That's tough. At close range gunfighting, we were doing ambidextrous shooting. In other words, I'm a right-hander. I practiced shooting left-handed. Sometimes freestyle, sometimes weak hand only. We did a lot of that. You have to learn to do that. And I actually, you know, by the end of those 2 days, I started getting fairly decent. Better than I thought I could be with my pistol using my left hand. So try doing that with a rifle. Try doing that with your AR or your AK or your Remington 870 shotgun. How good are you going to be if you haven't practiced that? It's a lot easier to practice that with a pistol. So you may have to go ambidextrous if there's a home invasion. It's going to be a lot easier to go ambidextrous with a handgun. It's also easier to practice ambidextrous with a handgun, in my opinion. So getting a gun into action is easier with a handgun than it is with a pistol caliber carbine. So if you're going to go through the extent of bringing a long gun into action, why not bring a 223 or a 7.62 or a Remington 870 12 gauge or even a 20 gauge shotgun or a 308? Why not bring a substantial long gun caliber to the fight if that's what you're going to bring? It's not that difficult to hide long guns. One of my favorite long guns that I own is my Ruger Mini 14. Now, I'm going to go ahead and... that's not a pistol caliber carbine, and that's the subject of the main topic here. But I'm going to take a little bit of a departure from the main topic and talk about my Ruger Mini 14. Because it's basically based on the same action as an M14. And the M14 is a proven battle weapon. And they basically use the same action type, and that's why it's called the Mini 14. Just shoots a different caliber than the M14. The Ruger Mini 14 shoots a 223. They also make it in 7.62x39, which they call that the Mini 30 because it's a 30 caliber round. But the Mini 14 is a very, very reliable. In my opinion, it's more reliable than an AR-15. Now, I have one of the newer Mini 14s. And I'm not slamming AR-15, folks. Please. Don't think I'm slamming you guys. I'm just saying that I have seen fewer problems with Mini 14s than I've seen with ARs. And I got one of the newer versions with the thicker barrel. It's called the Mini 14 Tactical, and it's accurate enough. All right, it's not going to be a tac driver like a decent AR. All right, I'll concede that argument, but it's good enough. I mean, it's a 3.5-inch group gun at 100 yards, okay? 3-inch groups at 100 yards. Good enough. I live in suburbia. I don't foresee myself taking a 300-meter shot. I'm sorry, I just don't see the likelihood of a 300-meter shot. I'm still in the market for that bolt-action 308. I want to get a bolt-action 308. So if I need to take a 300-meter shot, I'll whip out the bolt-action 308 with a nice scope, and I'll try to pick somebody off at 300 meters if I have to. But I want to deal in reality, folks, and that's where I live in suburban Dallas. It's probably not very likely that I'm going to have to do that. So the Mini 14 is fine. An AK is fine. But if you're going to bring a long gun to a fight, bring a long gun caliber. That's my humble opinion. Let me give you the other side, though. I like to keep this balanced. There are some people that are recoil sensitive. There are some people that just, if you stick a 7.62 rifle in their hand, or you give them a 308, or even sometimes a 223, it's just too much for them. It's too much gun. It's too much recoil. You give them a 12-gauge shotgun, they fire it one time, and they never want to touch it again. That's not a good thing either. You know, we want to encourage people to shoot, especially new shooters. Some of them are just intimidated by the recoil and the blast of conventional rifles and shotguns. Or maybe they have a physical impairment. Maybe they have a disability of some type. And it just plain out hurts for them to shoot a conventional rifle or a shotgun. If that's the case, if you're the kind of person that just absolutely hates the blast and just can't deal with the recoil, or you have a disability that doesn't allow you to shoot a conventional rifle or shotgun, then a pistol caliber carbine is probably for you. That's about the only time that I would recommend it to somebody. Okay? Now, I'm a Yankee with a gun. And I joke around. The reason I say that is because I was born in New York City and I was raised in Wisconsin. Now I live in Texas. But a lot of my relatives from New York, New Jersey, that didn't grow up with guns, you know, I mean, if let's face it, if I give them a 30-06 and tell them to fire it, they're probably going to hate that. Probably. Because they didn't grow up around shooting guns. If I load up my Remington 870 with my 12-gauge buckshot, copper-plated buckshot, that hot stuff that Federal makes, that flight control stuff that I love so much, well, that stuff kicks pretty hard. If I give that to some of my relatives that are not used to guns, they're going to fire one round and hand it back to me and say, I don't ever want to touch that thing again. And you know what? Then they'll be turned off of guns. And unfortunately, a lot of people that come from parts of the country like that, they already live in an area that hates guns. So if they were to shoot a gun that wasn't pleasant, they would hate it even more. Okay, sorry for the brief pause there. Had to grab a phone call, as you could hear. Business first. Anyway, it's going to make them probably hate guns even more. So I think that's what you want to try to avoid. For people like that, I guess a pistol caliber carbine might make sense. I would concede that point. But for the extra velocity, the minuscule extra velocity, I just don't see the merit in them. Some people say, well, you can shoot a pistol caliber carbine more accurate than a handgun, you know, because of the longer sight radius. For a new shooter, yeah. For a new shooter, that would be the case because they do have a longer sight radius. But if you can't shoot your handgun well enough, go get more training. I mean, I hate to say that, and I hate to be so blunt. I really hope I haven't offended anybody by that. But go get more training. All right? Like I've said so doggone many times, go to an IDPA match or a USPSA match and go twice a month. It's only an investment of $30. If you go twice a month, $15, most IDPA clubs are $15, plus, oh, I would say, 3 boxes of ammo. Even if you go once a month, pay $15 and 3 boxes of ammo, roughly, you know, that's at least better than not training. You'll get better with your handgun. So don't get a pistol caliber carbine just because it's more accurate, supposedly, than a handgun. I'll tell you, I've seen some people do some pretty amazing things with handguns. I've seen some people make some pretty amazing 50-yard, 75, 100-yard shots with handguns. If you know what you're doing, you can do it. So, it's just, you have to look at why do you own the pistol caliber carbine? Why are you thinking of buying it? Are you thinking of buying it for something to conceal? You might as well get a handgun. Is it a home defense weapon? Get good with your handgun, use that for home defense. I mean, for home defense, if you want a long gun, get a shotgun or a rifle, in my opinion. Shotguns. You know what makes an excellent home defense weapon, I think? If you're not going to go handgun, if you're going to go long gun, I think a 20-gauge shotgun. A 20-gauge shotgun has 4 times the stopping power of a 45 ACP handgun. You realize that? A 20-gauge shotgun with buckshot has an average of about 4 times as much power as a 45 handgun. That's some pretty serious knockdown power, folks. Or I guess I should say stopping power. I got to quit using the word knockdown power. Knockdown power, knocking people down with guns, is what you see in Hollywood. In reality, it's not that realistic. So stopping power or impact power, whatever you want to call it, foot pounds of energy. I don't care. It's 4 times as much as a 45, and 20 gauges recoil a lot less. So if you don't want to go handgun, you might want to consider a decent pump or semi-auto 20-gauge. A lot of good ones out there. So, back to pistol caliber carbines. If you have to get one, I'll tell you a couple of them that I actually really recommend highly. I used to have one. I'm kicking myself, even as I'm doing this podcast, I'm kicking myself for selling it. Never should have sold it. But the Marlin lever actions, or even some of the Winchester lever actions, in 357 Magnum or 44 Magnum. Those are the only pistol caliber carbines that I like to recommend. The reason being, let's take the 357 Magnum for a minute. 357 Magnum speaks for itself, does it not? I mean, it's a proven man stopper. I don't think I need to go into that. I think we've all heard that 357 Magnums get the job done, and they still do. There's some companies making some really, really good loads in 357 Magnum. Buffalo Bore is an example. Early on, when I first started doing this show, I talked about Buffalo Bore. Let me say it again. Buffalo Bore 357 Magnum, 158 grain or 180 grain, either one of them, they make some pretty hot stuff. Some of the ballistics, if you read the actual ballistics of some of that Buffalo Bore 357 Magnum, it's close to a 30-30 in ballistics. Not quite, but it's close enough. So, why would you want that? Well, guess what? If you own a 357 Magnum pistol, 357 Magnum revolver. There is no such thing as a 357 Magnum pistol. If you own a 357 Magnum revolver, you've got that commonality of ammo that I talked about earlier with your lever-action carbine. I like that. You know, the lever-action carbines have an appeal. 44 Magnum, same thing. You know, if you're an outdoorsman and, you know, you like to do a lot of hunting, if you carry a 44 Magnum revolver as a sidearm, as a backup when you're out hunting, when you're out big game hunting, you know, it might not be a bad idea to have a 44 Magnum, say, for home and property defense. Because you got the commonality of ammo. You can bulk reload, or you can bulk buy your 44 Magnum ammo, or you can bulk buy your 357 Magnum ammo and take advantage of good prices by bulk buying. The 357s will also shoot 38 Special, just like their revolver counterparts. Now, if you've ever shot a Marlin lever-action rifle with a 38 Special in it, there's almost no recoil to that. Now, that's cool, folks. That is fun. You know, shooting needs to be fun, does it not? We have to make shooting fun for people. So take somebody who's recoil-averse, take somebody who's never been around guns much, and load up some light-powered 38 Specials in a Marlin lever-action, 1894 lever-action, or a Winchester 357, if you can find one. Let them shoot that. That's fun. And it's real easy to practice. Even the 44 Specials in the 44 Magnum gun really don't recoil all that bad either. So those are two that I would definitely recommend. But carbines in typical pistol calibers like 9, 40, and 45, I'm not crazy about. I wish that there were 45 caliber carbines that held 20 rounds. Berettas, I think, only holds 10 rounds. The new High Point carbine only holds 9 rounds of 45. What's the point? I mean, come on. And you know what? I mean, what's the point of such a low capacity? If you're going to own a carbine, a pistol caliber carbine, why not have one that holds at least 10 rounds? A Marlin 1894 357 holds 10 rounds. A Marlin 1894 and 44 Magnum holds 10 rounds. That's decent capacity. Not terrific, but it's decent. Otherwise, if you're going to have 9 rounds of 45, why not carry a handgun? I mean, the XD45s, the M&P45s, pistols hold more than 9 rounds. You know, full-size 1911s hold 8 in the mag plus 1. That's 9 rounds. So, what's the point? What's the point of a 9-round pistol caliber carbine? Except for the cases I mentioned, if you're disabled and just can't handle a rifle or a shotgun, or if you're trying to introduce a brand new shooter to shooting a long gun, I don't really see the point, okay? Now, I know the 22 long rifle could be considered a pistol caliber because there's 22 caliber pistols, but that falls into the rimfire category, and I'll do a different show on rimfires. So I'm going to skip 22 for right now. Although I tell you, I sure love my Ruger 10/22. It's just one of the best all around rifles ever made, rimfire rifles. If you don't own a Ruger 10/22, I'm going to go ahead and do a commercial here real quick. Get a Ruger 10/22. I don't represent Ruger. I'm not getting anything by saying this. You know I don't have any paid sponsors on this show. I just love Ruger 10/22s. I think they're fantastic. They're fantastic for kids. They're fantastic for grown-ups. They're fantastic for experienced shooters. And you can find a gazillion and one accessories for them. Everybody should have a Ruger 10/22. Shop around. You can find them. They're extremely, extremely affordable. I think they're the best 22 long rifle on the planet. That's just my humble opinion. And by the way, you can get nice Butler Creek 20-round magazines with steel feed lips that feed perfectly. Mine works just great. And it's really super simple to field strip and clean, get a Ruger 10/22. All right, but enough of that Ruger commercial there. I'm talking about centerfire pistol caliber carbines. Okay, now real quickly, for all you reloaders out there, I know there are ways that you can load 44 Magnums and 357s. You can make some really nice custom loads for those. And because I'm not a real big expert on reloading and don't do any of it, hardly to speak of, I'm not going to go there. But I've talked to a lot of reloaders, and they say that there's some fantastic, especially in 44 Magnum. So that's another thing to consider. But really, I mean, if you're going to load up a hot 44 Magnum, then, you know, I mean, gosh, put a 30-30 in. I mean, get a 30-30 gun. You know, get something that's a rifle. If you're going to hide a long gun or you're going to deploy a long gun. Keep in mind, I'm talking to you from a civilian's perspective. And I'm not talking to you from a military perspective. I mean, no military person these days would use a 30-30, but for civilians, a 30-30 lever action, you know, or 30-06 bolt actions, 308 bolt actions, I think there's some really good uses, good practical uses for those amongst civilians. Okay, so there's my thoughts on pistol caliber carbines. Now, in this segment, I said this was going to be a mixed bag of gun talk here. So let me also talk some more about belts, concealed carry belts. I've not spent too much time on it. I did spend a little bit of time long ago in some of my earlier shows. Somebody emailed me, so I'm going to go ahead and address that question. They wanted to know, what do I consider is a good concealed carry belt? That is a convoluted question, but there's definitely some things that I look for that work real well for me. The belt is often very overlooked. Please don't overlook a good belt. There's a lot of gun belts out there that look fantastic from a style standpoint. They look just like your good dress belt. And then there's some that are more tactical, I guess you could say, like the Wilderness tactical belts or the 5.11 and so forth. Both of them are good. Those types of belts are good. Double thickness leather belts. The great thing about the belt, it does several things for you. Number one, it helps distribute the weight of a gun. You know, you can carry a more realistic size, full size, decent size handgun. You know, I love pocket pistols. I like mouse guns. Mouse guns definitely have their place, but there's no reason you can't carry an XD subcompact, an M&P compact, a Glock midsize or subcompact. A Taurus 45 subcompact, something like that. There's no reason why you can't carry guns like that. Or even, and some people can get away with carrying relatively full-size guns. There's no reason you can't carry a good 4-inch commander-sized 1911. As long as you have good holsters and good belts and good methods of concealing them, you can wear them and no one's going to be the wiser. The belt, though, is so important. Double thickness. Now, I like the Wilderness belts. I also, not very far from me up in Oklahoma City, and I go up to Oklahoma City a lot, there is a store up there called Looper Leather that has Kydex-lined leather belts. Well, lots of people now make Kydex-lined leather belts. So just do an internet search and try to find them. The inside of it's Kydex, the outside of it's leather. It looks good. They hold up very well. They're extremely stiff. It helps pull that gun close into the body, so look for that. Don't think you can just get away with an ordinary dress belt. Not. It ain't going to work. But the belt is so important. It distributes the weight. It also helps pull it in tight. I prefer 1¾ inch length, but I use a lot of 1½ inch belts because I have dress pants that only have 1½ inch belt loops. But most of my cargo pants and cargo shorts that I wear for casual wear, they'll support, or they'll, I can use 1¾ inch, so I prefer 1¾ inch belts. Again, the more belt width, the more it's going to help hold the weight of the gun, and the better it's going to hold, hug your body, in tight into your body. You know, especially if you're appendix carrying, if you're doing appendix inside the waistband, the belt is highly critical to keep that gun close into your body. So that's what I like to say about concealed carry belts. High Noon makes good belts. Milt Sparks makes fantastic belts. There's some good belts by an internet seller called Gunner's Alley. They make some good ones. Mitch Rosen makes some good belts. Any of the Wilderness products, I think, are pretty good. They make double stitch, double stickness, five stitch, whatever they call them. Look at their website. They explain it pretty clearly. So those belts, I think, are top-notch also. I do like the more tactical-type belts, in other words, the Wilderness tactical type, for one particular reason. versus a belt that has buckle, you know, belt buckle holes where you've got a, you know, you got preset holes that you have to, you know, you got to tighten it up. What I like about the Wilderness Tactical style is you can adjust that to exactly the right tension for you. So if you're like me, my weight fluctuates a lot. And that's one of the reasons why I like belts like that, because depending on what my weight is doing, I can either cinch that thing up tight or I can loosen it up, and I don't have to worry about making sure that I have extra holes or go get extra holes put in it and so on and so forth for middle-of-the-road waist sizes is kind of what I'm talking about. So for that reason and that reason alone, I like that style of belt. But just get a good, sturdy gun belt. Some people say, oh, Bob, you know what? They cost so much money. Yeah, they cost money, but how much is your life worth? Please don't try to skimp on your accessories. Maybe accessories is the wrong word. Don't skimp on your entire concealed carry system. The gun, the ammo, the belt, and the holster, all four of those work together as a system. Think of it that way. I want you to think about that. They all work together. Your gun, your ammo, your belt, and your holster. All of them need, I submit to you, they need to be good quality. Invest in good belts, good ammo, and good holsters before you buy another gun. I would suggest that. Think about that. Before you go out and drop more money on another gun, people love to buy guns. And folks, I'll tell you, I love to buy guns too. I mean, this is one of my passions. I love it. Guns are fun. But ammo, belts, holsters, and training are just as important as another gun. Think about that. And I'll tell you, when I took close-range gunfighting, that just brought that to light even more. It showed me how important it is to have good gear and good training. And it's hard for me to tell you on an audio podcast how important that is. You just have to go to a training course to figure it out. You just have to get really intense into competition sports to figure that out. You know, even the competition folks, you know, there's this big argument about whether competition teaches you self-defense skills, and I've spent enough time on that. I don't want to get into that anymore. But you'll see that even competition, people who are serious about gun competitions, pistol competitions like IDPA and USPSA, those people are serious about their gear. Cowboy action shooters, those people are serious about the quality of their gear. They know that it helps them achieve their goals. It you know that they don't go out there with cheap stuff, folks. Trust me on that. And those that do go out there with cheap stuff tend to lose, and they tend to have problems and malfunctions. So don't skimp on what I call the four major areas of your concealed carry self-defense system. Number one, your gun. Number two, your ammo. Number three, your holster. Number four, your belt. Not necessarily in that order, but those are all extremely important. Okay? Now, the last part of my mixed bag here that I want to talk about is brand loyalty. And I'm going to talk specifically about firearms here for a minute. Somebody asked me, what do I think about brand loyalty? Should you stick to the same type of brand of pistol? No, I don't think you should stick to the same type of brand of pistol. I just think that you should stick to the same type of platform of handgun. And what I mean by that is, you've heard me talk a lot about Glocks. But I'm not going to say that you have a bad gun if it's not a Glock. I've never said that, and I'm not going to say that. If an XD or an M&P or a Taurus or a 1911... any kind of 1911, if they work for you, if a revolver works for you, if a nice Smith & Wesson 357 Magnum revolver works for you, fine. That's great. I would suggest you stick with the same type of platform, though. What I mean is, if revolvers work for you, stick with revolvers and train with them. If an M&P works best for you, stick with M&Ps and train with them. If Glocks, same thing. Stick with them and train with them. If it's 1911s, stick with those and train with them. If it's a Beretta PX4 or any kind of a Beretta, stick with those and train with them. The reason being is because, and again, all this so much came to light during close-range gunfighting. I mean, folks, you know, when you go to 2 or 3 days of intense training like I went through, and you shoot that many rounds, when I finally counted it, we shot over 800 rounds. When you shoot that many rounds and it's that intense, you're thinking about so much other stuff. You're thinking so much about your technique that the last thing that you should have to think about is operating the controls of your gun. And I've seen it happen so many times that people don't spend enough time on one platform. They don't get to know it that well. I know there's the argument. I've heard people say, oh, Bob, you know, what if I'm going down the street and all of a sudden my gun gets stripped from me and I'm going down the street and I find someone's 1911? Shouldn't I know how to use that? Come on. All right. What kind of a Red Dawn war do you think you're going to end up fighting? This goes back to reality. What's the reality of you're just cruising down the street, you're going about your business, you're either walking on the sidewalk or you're driving in your car, and for some reason your gun gets stripped of you and you happen to find another gun. This is not Hollywood. Okay, if your gun gets stripped from you, and that's possible, yeah, I understand in a force-on-force encounter how your gun can get taken from you. I hope that doesn't happen, folks, but if your gun gets taken from you, I doubt the bad guy is going to give you enough time to walk down the street and find another gun or get to your vehicle or get someplace else where there's another gun. I doubt that the likelihood of that happening is very high. Again, I'm not talking about military. I'm talking about civilian defense. Now, if you're in the military, okay, I understand. Yeah, you could pick up the enemy's gun on the battlefield. And the enemy may be using a different rifle or pistol than you are. Sure. If you're in the military, then this argument doesn't apply. But if you're a civilian, I doubt that it's going to apply. Learn the platform that you carry. Train with the platform of gun that you carry. And let it be. If you want to learn to shoot some other guns, go rent them. But I think your training should be focused. My humble opinion, set me straight. I love feedback. You guys know how I like feedback and everything. You guys know how I'm an open-minded person. Set me straight if you think I'm wrong about that. But train, pick a platform. I don't care what it is. Whatever works for you, pick that platform and just train and train heavily with it. Same goes for rifles. I think if AR works for you, train with it. If AK works for you, train with it. If the Mini 14 works for you, do like I did. I just ordered Gabe Suarez's Mini 14 training DVD. He's got an excellent DVD. I'll put a link to that, too. Excellent DVD on running the Mini 14 for self-defense. It's one of his instructors did the DVD, but it's excellent. Pick a platform of long gun and go with it. So, with that said, please remember, as I mentioned in the beginning, to support the show. And since this is going to be released on the 15th of September, as I mentioned earlier in the show, this is the last day for the Freedom Raffle. So, if you've procrastinated all this time, get on the internet, go to handgunworld.com, and right now, get your tickets for the Freedom Raffle, because the drawing comes up in 2 days. So, folks, thanks for tuning in. I'm Bob Main. You've just listened to another episode of the Handgun World Show. And the reason I carry a gun, it's pretty simple. It's because I can't carry a cop. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Catch you next time. Goodbye.
Send lawyers, guns, and money. This shit has hit the fan. Guns and money.